107.5 FM, W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Authorities in New Mexico say actor Gene Hackman died of natural causes due to severe heart disease with Alzheimer's a contributing factor, and that his wife Betsy died a week earlier of a rare virus. ABC's Trevor Ault is in Santa Fe.
Gene Hackman died from cardiovascular disease that was significant, and it was, as we heard, complicated by Alzheimer's, which would also explain him being at home after his wife had already passed. And they also went into detail about this rare sickness that appears to have killed Betsy Arakawa, hantavirus pulmonary syndrome, which is a very rare disease. It's not quite as rare here in New Mexico.
President Trump hosting a crypto summit at the White House today, meeting with digital currency leaders on ways to boost cryptocurrency, including the president showing support for a U.S. strategic cryptocurrency reserve. In the Northeast, another day of strong winds and storm gusts up to 60 miles per hour expected. And in the Colorado Rockies, an avalanche danger still posted. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A number of U.S. Department of Agriculture workers in Wisconsin have been temporarily reinstated with questions over the legality of their firings. On Wednesday, the Merit Systems Protection Board ordered the agency to reinstate about 6,000 probationary staff members across the country for 45 days. The workers were fired amid efforts to dramatically slash the federal workforce by the Trump administration and Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Those workers still have little clarity on their job security after these 45 days. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is calling for increased funding for staffing at the Wisconsin State Crime Laboratories. This week, Attorney General Call and a group of state legislators called for $2.7 million of the state budget to hire for an additional 19 positions in the labs. There are just three crime labs across the state to cover the forensic evidence needs of law enforcement authorities in 72 counties. Officials say they've seen long backlogs in processing evidence, causing lengthy delays in court proceedings for serious cases. Governor Tony Evers has announced the appointment of Phil Grassman to serve as the new Rusk County Sheriff. According to a press release, Grassman will serve the remainder of Sheriff Jeffrey Wallace's current term ending in 2027. Sheriff Wallace recently announced his intent to retire and said Grassman will be an excellent replacement. Grassman joined the sheriff's office as a deputy in 2004 and was appointed chief deputy in 2015. He also served as deputy warden of the Wisconsin DNR in Ladysmith from 2007 to 2016. The Washburn County Board of Supervisors is now accepting applications for 2025 alcohol and other drug abuse and use prevention mini-grants. The grant program provides community groups with funding for efforts to develop healthy communities. The county has offered the funding since 1987, and this year there is $10,000 available through the Washburn County Community Alliance for Prevention. Applications for the grant funding can be submitted online, and individual organizations can receive up to $1,000. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks host the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks getting ready to host the Orlando Magic tomorrow night in Milwaukee. The Bucks have won four in a row, eight of their last 10 games, averaging over 114 points a night. College basketball gets started tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. at Fiserv Forum as Marquette hosts number six ranked St. John's. It's senior day for the Golden Eagles for players like Stevie Mitchell, David Coplin, and Cam Jones. The Badgers taking on Penn State at noon tomorrow in Madison. Baseball, the Brewers blanked the A's 10-0 in Arizona. Starter Jacob Mizorowski looked sharp in his three innings of work. The Brewers ranked 24th this year in payroll. Can they still win the division again?
Of course we can. We have in the past, and we can again. But we got to take care of our house. We can't worry about what they're doing. We got to take care of our house, and we got to play a certain way. We have to be uncommon, you know, and that fits.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper teens. For the weekend, more sunshine than clouds and warmer. High in the mid-40s Saturday, upper 40s Sunday. Dry through most of next week and warm. Lots of 40s and 50s, even some 60s. Currently 40 degrees.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And it's a bar band Friday night, and that means our pal Terry Barr will be by with new music and fun conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. We made it, folks. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the boards. See you folks lining up on the text line and the phones at 855-752-4842-855-75. So we're going to continue on with our conversations. You've got to throw a couple of things out there as well. If you're looking for something to do today, go check out Bernie Sanders coming to Kenosha, UW Parkside, 6:30. The Fighting Oligarchy, where we go from here with Bernie Sanders in Kenosha. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Listen to Bernie. He's consistent and he is smart. And if he's making the effort, man, you can make the effort.
Absolutely. Details in the show notes.
Excellent. Thank you, Jess. Mm-hmm. Congressman Mark Polkin will be joining him there as well. It's a Friday night fight. Go check it out here from the man himself. He's been saying it, but I think we need to keep on continuing it, shouting it from the rooftops, folks. Yeah, we're getting ruled by the oligarch, our billionaire overlords. You know, mm-hmm. when you put it like that, it doesn't sound great, does it?
Doesn't sound great as oligarchs either.
It's just a weird word. I like billionaire overlords. Right, Tom? 855-752-4842. All right, we're going to get back on. We're going to continue on this conversation, but we got in the same vein. We got to throw this one out there as well. It's been a Derek Van Orden week, hasn't it? We've talked about drunky Van Orden for a few times this week.
Yeah, he was complaining about that VA worker wasting precious government time.
I'm going to report him to Elon Musk. Doge.
Get you fired.
He's already fired.
He was already fired. I was reaching out to try to get some help.
Yeah, because Van Orden sits on that committee, right?
For
veterans. Yeah.
Well,
sure. Well, why would you think a guy like that would help you? Just because he's a fellow vet? So the judgment of this man, well, we know what that is. He has to yell at young kids specifically and likes to party a lot, which is not terrible, but damn, dude. 855-752-4842. Okay, so a little bit of the reporting from the New Republic, if I may get it pulled up here very briefly. This was from a couple of days ago. Republican congressman compares town hall protesters to Nazis.
Oh, boy.
But wait, what?
Ooh. Mark from Sussex, how do you like that one?
Yeah, everything's a Nazi. What's up with this Van Orden calling everyone Nazis and communists?
It's getting real old.
It's getting totally old, man. Come on. The new Republic reporting. Once again, Republicans are asking the American public to forego the evidence of their eyes and their ears. Republican lawmakers were met with fire and fury over the weekend as their constituents hounded them for failing to intervene in a budget resolution that will result in billions of cuts to Medicaid, as well as refusing to speak out against Elon Musk's unchecked dissolution of federal agencies and with it, thousands of federal jobs and popular social programs. But at least one Republican has decided the best option is to threaten criminal charges for Americans who dare to dissent against Donald Trump's agenda. I would say using their First Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking with a conservative radio show on Friday, Wisconsin Representative Derek Van Orden likened his constituents to Nazis, claiming that only communists and fascists would protest their lawmakers. I mean, how dare you? Are you kidding me, man? What were you doing during the Tea Party protest, man? We have some sound of this?
All right.
Let's hear just the hard work cutting up the sound and having to listen to it more than we have to. But you got to hear it because this is your Congressman, Western Wisconsin. Well done. Don't forget, this guy was also at the January 6th insurrection. Mm-hmm. Let's play cut number one, please, Jess.
People have to understand, you know, I'm a history buff, and all people associated with the communist movement and the national socialism movement
that's Nazis
used to get their way politically is they would do stuff like this, and they were called agitators.
Maybe like January 6th?
This is a time-tested, proven method for very far left and very far right groups to get their way. And when I say very far right, I mean actual national socialists. So here's what I told everybody. We've been getting harassing calls. I just got more death threats last week, me personally. If anybody's coming to any of these meetings that we have and they act in an unlawful manner by harassing people, or if they're being disruptive, refusing to leave a venue, we will have them arrested and charged with a Class B misdemeanor. I'm not going to put up with these agitators showing disrespect and acting in an unlawful manner to their fellow Wisconsinites or my staff, period.
F-A-F-O.
Well, listen, we're not doing it. Republicans are too nice.
Dude, you were literally at the Capitol on January 6th.
Republicans are too nice.
You were beating the cops. Very disrespectful. Your folks, your buddies that you were there with, man, people got charged. People got charged. They went to jail. And your guy, Donald Trump, pardoned them.
After saying, we're going to go case by case.
I mean, come on, man. So that was Derek Van Orden. As the New Republic reports, fact checked, it was notoriously unsafe to speak out against the government in Soviet Russia as well in Nazi Germany. Under the Nazi regime, Germany shuttered anti-Nazi newspapers, controlled what media appeared in newspapers and on the radio, banned books that the Third Reich determined were un-German, and by 1934 had made it officially illegal to criticize the Nazi government. Freedom of speech, the right to protest, on the other hand, have been cornerstones of American democracy since the country was founded. Class B misdemeanor, we heard that. They conclude here, Van Orden's outlandish comments preceded instructions by the chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee, the NRCC, who on Tuesday directed party members, the Republican Party members, to stop holding in-person town halls to avoid the backlash. Yeah, you know, stop testing for COVID, too.
That makes the numbers go down.
Yeah, it makes the numbers go down.
Uh-huh.
House Speaker Mike Johnson endorsed the order later on Tuesday, washing his hands of lawmakers' upset constituents by watering them down as, quote-unquote, professional protesters. And meanwhile, Donald Trump explicitly threatened to violate the Constitution on Tuesday, pledging to prosecute protesters and withhold federal funds from universities or schools if attendees choose to express their First Amendment rights. So death threats bad. Don't do that, people. I mean,
right,
that's not great. But yeah, you got a problem? You say it. You know, you say it.
Mm-hmm.
But be nice.
Well, I think it's worth noting.
Time to not be nice.
I think it's worth noting that as far as I've seen quite a few headlines. I've read quite a few articles about, people are showing up to these town hall meetings in crazy numbers, like jam-packed town hall meetings that normally would have drawn maybe a couple dozen people.
Maybe.
And they're using their First Amendment rights. They are speaking out and saying, hey, I am frustrated with you, my elected official, for voting in ways that I believe are going to cause serious long-term harm.
Or not voting.
Or not
doing anything. I mean, totally abdicating your responsibility to the constituents who will have something to say to you. And the response from the leadership of the Republican Party is,
just don't go.
Just don't do those then.
But I haven't seen anyone arrested for legitimate harassment.
Right.
Just because you don't like what someone's saying doesn't make it harassment.
And just because you don't like what is being funded doesn't make it waste or fraud.
Right.
Or right. Abuse. I'm just saying.
These are terms that have agreed upon definitions.
Well, I mean, we'll change that. I mean, we have alternate facts.
Right. That old gem.
You know what I mean? So there you go. Derek Van Orden, the Republicans, you know, you push back. You don't like what's happening in your constituency. They don't address it. They don't have an answer for it. Because they have willfully given up their power to Donald Trump and to Elon Musk for, and why Elon Musk? I mean, come on, man, the guys. I mean, this wall of receipts has been a joke the whole time. We've mm-hmm. talked about a couple of conservatives that actually went through the receipts, found maybe $2 billion, quote unquote, saved so far, which comes up to be what, 1/32nd or 1/36th of 1% of the federal budget, which they call
budget dust.
Republicans, put down the angel dust and get with it, man. People are not happy with it. And for you to think that just because people come out and voice their opinions and their displeasure with you makes them protesters and worthy of arrest and Class B misdemeanor, man. I mean, what a snowflake.
What happened to the party of free speech?
Well, that you can't have that. I mean, mm-hmm. it's free speech if you agree with my. If it's approved free speech, then it's fine. You call us out, you call us to the mat. Well, we can't have that. And again, these are Republicans are going to be. It's not just Dems. You know, these things are not going to just impact Dems. And we looked at the statistics. Red states rely more on the federal government safety net programs mm-hmm. than do blue states. Blue states provide more money to the federal government than do the red states. I mean, just do those are the facts as I understand them. You can look it up. You can do your crunch your own numbers to see that. And if you agree with those numbers, well, certainly you have to understand then that these changes, these effects are going to impact negatively the megas more than it will anybody else. But that's not even the point. I don't want only one party to suffer or universal suffering. I want us to engage in self-governance in a productive way. And having an unelected bureaucrat like Elon Musk, when Donald Trump said during his speech,
unelected bureaucrats is over.
It's the guy
said. That was one of the things that actually prompted at least a couple Democrats to come together and burst out into laughter and pointing.
Right. So I just don't get it. I mean, when you hear these facts, when you understand, you know, and put it into the proper context and see who's gonna be hurt by these things. Do you really think Derek Van Orden or House Speaker Mike Johnson that these are just professional protesters? Or do you think that maybe some of these folks might have even voted for you, mm-hmm. are concerned about these actions and want to know what Congress is going to do about it? And so far, Republicans haven't offered anything other than a full-throated support of Donald Trump and Elon Musk and the process they're going through while we face down, 1 week from today, the potential of a government shutdown. And how much news have you heard about what's going on there?
Very little. And I pay a lot of attention.
Very little. We do have some highlights, some updates on that as well. I'm going to get to your calls, 855-752-4842. We got time. We got LA Tom in here real quick. Hey, Tom, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. First off, we are headed towards the Trump session. I hope everybody holds on to their hats, but the Trump session
Trump session.
I wanted to let you know also, I helped my mom one day make a phone call because Derek Van Orden is her representative.
Ma. Yeah.
I know, right? And but the thing is, the guy cursed at me on the phone. I said that I don't want to see our tax dollars and I don't want to see tax breaks for people like Widow Hendricks. He blew up at me. Because I called her Widow Hendricks. Like, that was a disparaging name.
Oh, how dare you show such disrespect from the Megas who are always, always on the top of their game and so very
nice.
Polite. They're too nice. Hey, Tom, got a heartbreak coming up. Thank you for your calls. 855-752-4842. Coming back with more of yours.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Anywhere I want to go, anything that I need to know, any place I need to see, it's right in front of me. Any sound I want to hear, I'll take heed and I will lend an ear and play it loud till I'm sore, till I can't take it anymore.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. joining me. She's on the board working hard. We're going to get to a couple more of the headlines here from the great state of Wisconsin. Throw this one out there for your consideration. Of course, we have an election coming up here.
Yes, we do.
Not so long from now. We've got 3 weeks from
3 weeks.
Oh, my God. Never ends, folks. This existence and self-governance. I mean, it could end if you just let somebody else do it.
But I'd rather not.
And they could stick it to you.
They could.
Do whatever they want because your lack of engagement and say having a say in it is essentially, you know, allowing them to do what they want. It's
right, but if you want it to stay as self-governance.
Self-governance.
Then it never ends.
Almost requires the self.
Indeed. Indeed.
I'm just saying. Brad Schimmel, he wants to be Wisconsin's next Supreme Court Justice, Urban Milwaukee reporting. I'm going to jump down to the body of the piece. We have some sound. Now, on the campaign trail, Schimmel is a Waukesha County judge and former Republican state attorney general. I think we were arrested under Brad Schimmel's reign, has repeatedly said he is running for the Supreme Court to bring impartiality back to the body.
Oh, is he?
He's claimed that since the court's liberals gained a majority in the 2023 election, it has been legislating from the bench on behalf of the Democratic Party. But in more private events and to more conservative audiences, he's often spoken more openly about his conservative politics. At a turning point event, he said prior to the 2024 presidential election, the country had, quote, walked up to the edge of the abyss, and we could hear the wind howling. But the Republican Party and its supporters helped the country take a couple steps back by electing Donald Trump. Yeah, so they can get a running start. Democrats and their media allies still have bulldozers waiting to push into all that. I mean, this game. Anyway, Donald Trump doesn't do this by himself. There has to be a support network. Wait, what?
Yeah.
The impartial judge?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. We have some sound. Let's hear some impartiality.
You got it.
From God, I can't believe this guy is still around. Brad Schimmel.
Donald Trump doesn't do this by himself. There has to be a support network.
Elon Musk.
And that, you know, they filed over 70 lawsuits against him since he took the oath of office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barely a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Overstepping his authority.
Over 70 lawsuits to try to stop almost every single thing
every
he's doing.
Every single unconstitutional thing.
Because they don't
thing.
Want him to get a win. They're so desperate for him to not get a win that they won't let America have a win.
They need a support network. Oh, how exactly, Mr. Schimmel, would you, as a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, be a support network for Donald Trump? They filed over 70 lawsuits against him since he took the oath of office barely a month ago. Well, he's been signing furiously lots and lots of unconstitutional executive orders. And some of those he's lost, some of those he's won. Most of them, I think, he's lost or are still ongoing. But, you know, that's kind of how it works, Brad. You should know this. You're a judge. But I'm really curious to know how you, as a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, would be part of that support network. If one of those cases came before you, Judge Justice Schimmel, what would you do? Do you prejudge it because it came from a Democratic law firm, Law Forward maybe? Would you automatically rule against it? Would you be objective? Could you be objective when you know, when you've stated, when you've preached that Donald Trump needs a support group, and what, you're that support group on the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Thank you. Thank you, Brad Schimmel. All right. So just a little bit more here. Susan Crawford. Who's Susan Crawford? Well, apparently a lot of you folks don't know who Susan Crawford is. So I'm going to give you the quick rundown here, and I'm going to get your calls, 855-752-4842, Hope Carnop, reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Well, you know, she's being endorsed by all sorts of liberal groups. So here we go. Crawford is currently a circuit court judge in Dane County, first elected in 2018, presided over trials of homicide, sexual assault, domestic violence cases. Before that, she was a partner at Pines Bach, a Madison law firm often hired by Democrats. As a private attorney, she represented groups that fought for abortion rights and sought to overturn Act 10 and the state's voter ID law. Now, earlier in her career, she served as chief legal counsel to former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle and worked in the State Department of Natural Resources and Department of Correction. Also worked as an assistant attorney general under Doyle. Now, she's been endorsed by the state Democratic Party, the Wisconsin Education Association Council, Wisconsin AFL-CIO, Wisconsin Conservation Voters, Emily's List, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and several labor unions. He's also backed by each of the court's liberal justices, Ann Walsh Bradley, whose retirement created the vacancy in the seat that's up for re-election. Of course, Rebecca Dallet, Jill Karofsky, and the most recent justice elected, Janet Protasiewicz. Now, while Schimmel has touted endorsements from dozens of Wisconsin sheriffs, Crawford is endorsed by the Dane County Sheriff, Calvin Barrett, and Milwaukee County Sheriff, Danita Ball, plus retired sheriffs from Dane, Greene, and Chippewa counties. Crawford has raised $7.7 million since entering the race, including $4.5 million in the first month of 2025. The State Democratic Party has funneled $3 million to her campaign. Labor unions have also supported her campaign. National big money donors have gotten involved in both campaigns. While individuals can only donate $20,000 to a candidate, they can send unlimited donations to state parties, which then transfer money to the campaign.
Didn't one of those candidates give explicit instructions about that?
They have in the past, certainly. Yeah. Investor George Soros, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, and LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman have recently donated large sums to the State Democratic Party, which forwarded the money to Crawford's campaign. On abortion, in a recent interview, she called the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade wrong, one of her campaign ads as she fought for abortion rights. What else we got here? Voter ID, stance on redistricting. So I would say she's 60 years old. She has a husband, Sean. They live in Madison, two adult children. She grew up in Chippewa Falls. Received her bachelor's degree in English from Lawrence University in Appleton, my old stomping grounds.
One of them.
And a master's degree in English from Indiana University, then attended University of Iowa College of Law, graduating in 1994. So good Dem pedigree, let's call it. I mean, kind of where you at on all the issues. And she's not Brad Schimmel. So there you go. A little bit on Susan Crawford. Vote for Susan Crawford. We got election coming up, folks. You want to... self-governance, folks, you got to keep it up. And we need Susan Crawford in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Come back with us. More of your calls. Also, the end of the day, man. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. State lawmakers have introduced new legislation calling on Wisconsin to reduce its carbon emissions by over 50% over the next 5 years and reach full carbon neutrality by 2050. The bill, titled the Climate Accountability Act, is the first piece of state legislation that would mandate greenhouse gas reductions if passed into law. Lawmakers say the bill also prioritizes equity and economic growth in the clean energy sector. They hope the bill brings attention to the effects climate change can have on public health, economic stability, and environmental justice. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for volunteers to participate in their rare plant monitoring program. According to a press release, the community-based science program asks volunteers to conduct surveys for rare plants across the state and track plant population trends during conservation efforts. The agency has run the program since 2013, and last year's program saw over 70 volunteers submit reports for over 220 rare plants. Interested volunteers can sign up for the upcoming training sessions online. Sawyer County authorities say two men have been arrested following a standoff that involved firearms and explosives. 47-year-old Michael Aaron Colalillo Sr. and 40-year-old Zachary Horan are facing multiple criminal charges in relation to the January incident. Authorities say they responded to an altercation between Colalillo and a victim, which involved allegations of assault, illegal firearm possession, and the creation of homemade explosives. That incident led to an extensive investigation by authorities before the arrests. Polk County organizations with a focus on helping the area's aging population can now apply for grant funding to assist in those efforts. The Door County Community Foundation will be accepting applications for grant funding through their Growing Older Fund until March 24th. Organizations that work to address issues and opportunities involving aging, fostering intergenerational connections, and building support communities are invited to apply. Officials say the expected average grant amount will be about $2,500. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Peaky Blinders fans who are looking for closure from the upcoming Peaky Blinders movie will not get it. Franchise creator Stephen Knight says Peaky Blinders will continue after the movie has been released, but was not specific as to whether it would be TV or film. In the upcoming movie, the Peaky Blinders gang does battle with Nazis. Netflix has not yet given a release date for the Peaky Blinders movie. Typically, when someone writes a movie, they are looking for creative and ideally financial gain. Rarely does citizenship come into play as a reward, but it did for Jesse Eisenberg, the writer of the movie A Real Pain. The Polish government granted Jesse citizenship for writing the film set in Poland, for which he was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Screenplay. Nice to have a place to weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper teens. For the weekend, more sunshine than clouds and warmer. High in the mid-40s Saturday, upper 40s Sunday. Dry through most of next week and warm. Lots of 40s and 50s, even some 60s.
It's 39 right now.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine, why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show. Happy Friday to us all. Getting through the days with your participation. 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. working hard on the board. Thank you, Jess, folks. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. I got a couple of topics to throw out there quickly. Well, maybe at least one. We'll see what happens, and we'll go from there. You know? People are so excited about it. They keep calling. No, I appreciate it. This is why we do this. We have the conversations. Uh-huh. You call. It's, we have more conversations.
That's this is the show.
This is how it's supposed to work.
Right.
I mentioned it a little bit earlier today. The president apparently wants the Declaration of Independence in his Oval Office.
The Declaration of Independence. Not a replica.
The. Well, he settled for apparently the copy only after initially asking aides if they could get the real document The Atlantic reported on Tuesday. I am referring to a summary over at the Raw story. Trump's request alarmed some of his aides, who immediately recognized both the implausibility and expense of moving the original document. The original Declaration of Independence established the United States is its own nation, standing alone from British rule, is nearly 250 years old and difficult to maintain. And not only that, I understand the Declaration of Independence is getting a Social Security check. Displayed in the rotunda at the National Archives building in Washington, D.C., it is perhaps the most treasured historical document in the U.S. government's possession. The original is behind heavy glass in an oxygen-free, argon-filled case that can retract into the wall at night for security. Because of light damage to the faded animal skin parchment, the room is kept dimly lit. Restrictions have been placed on how often the doors can even be opened, according to the report at The Atlantic. The Declaration of Independence. And my position is that he doesn't want this because he reveres the document. He wants it to hang on his wall like a hunting trophy.
Right.
Because that's what he's doing. Now, let's revisit just a few words, if I may.
Of
the Declaration of Independence, because I'm not sure Trump ever read it. Or if you make it.
Oh, so many words.
Appreciate so many words. Can I get the cliff notes? Before AI, we had to use cliff notes, Jess.
I'm not that young.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These truths are self-evident, Mega, that all men, women, people are created equal. And these unalienable rights cannot be taken, cannot be given. These are rights of our existence. I know you creator. Notice I said creator, not Jesus, just for you megas out there. These are our rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Any king or dictator or authoritarian would push back on those rights, that you do not have the right to life and liberty and pursuit of happiness in those circumstances. You simply cannot. An absolute monarchy clashes at the most fundamental level with the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If a mad king can snap their fingers and take your head, or throw you in the clank and the dungeons for the rest of your life or torture you, whatever. It's all fine. Because that's what absolute monarchies do. And for, so you megas out there, when you think this is funny and you want to go down this road, remember what this document that Donald Trump wants to hang as a hunting trophy in the Oval Office, as something that he conquers. Because tell me, you cannot tell me that this man and these actions of this man appreciate and understand and agree with the Declaration of Independence, that we have unalienable rights, and that among these rights, among them, not only them, not only those rights, among these rights are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if your actions, if your candidate, if your behavior, if go against that, and you want to be involved in politics, then what are you doing? Tell me what you're doing. Tell me how a king can live like within these framework. Tell me how a dictator can appreciate the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Of course, they cannot. And that goes not just for me and Jess and Democrats out there and Republicans out there. It goes for everybody. It goes for the LGBTQ. It goes for everybody. Tall, short, black, white. It goes for everybody. Everybody. Everybody, we the people. You want to get under the other document. Now, he hasn't called for that one to be hung up like a hunting trophy yet, although he has been on the record suggesting that we get rid of parts of it.
Suspend it.
Going after folks that don't like what's happening, that would express their displeasure, to redress for the government, to use our freedom of speech, our right to protest, that somehow... Class B misdemeanor, Derek Van Orden, because you don't like people calling you out. We need to call them out all the time. And if you're not, I'm telling you, I don't care what where you are, what your thing is, what drives you. If we're going to get back to our most basic common denominator, lowest common factor, whatever the case is it not our founding documents and the appreciation of these certain unalienable rights that among those rights, multiple, many more than articulated as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's where I think we can all agree on, can't we? And if you can't, maybe you're not truly a patriot that you think you are. 855-752-4842. Let's get to it. Ollie from the Northwoods, happy Friday. Ollie, welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, I just... I'm thankful that there is some clear-thinking person taking care of the Declaration of Independence. I was highly worried that someday we might see it on the wall in Mar-a-Lago's bathroom next to
the
golden toilet.
Well,
or worse yet.
You know, but we're not out of the woods yet, Ollie. We got a long way to go. I mean, that could be coming yet. He could just order it, right? Who's going to stop him?
Well, that's right, and I worry about it being sold on TV by Trump himself being hocked to the highest bidding country
yeah,
or oligarch.
Who? I mean, how very symbolic, right, Ollie? The fact that these guys could, well, maybe buy and sell it. I think we're not quite there yet, Ollie, but certainly appreciate it. Yeah, in the bathroom. I don't think anyone wants to be in a bathroom at Trump's Mar-a-Lago.
No, thanks.
Not with all the burgers and Diet Cokes going around. I'm just saying. Can't be great for the digestive system, man. Get some fiber, dude. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Do we have Mark yet? No? Mark? All right. Hey, Mark from the SAC. Yeah, hey, welcome. Welcome. Yeah. Mark, what do you got for us?
I'm here, yeah. Well, Derek Van Orden needs to be reminded that he only won by, less than 2% of the voters, 3%, close, under 3% of the 49, close to 49% of the people voted against Derek Van Orden. So he should expect to be there. At those meetings, maybe 50-50, and maybe people are not happy they voted for Mr. Van Orden.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous that these guys are carrying on like they're carrying on like this, whining about, you know, people showing up there. We didn't hear this kind of, you know, hue and cry from the Democrats, from the Tea Party. People showing up saying, well, they should all be arrested and tossed in jail. And
if they would have, Mark, they'd have been that would have freaked them out even more, right? I mean, during that, and thank you for that. And I was trying to remember, like, how old I remember there was a lot of passion going on. Of course, it was the Black president time back then, and they people were very, very mad. But if the Democrats would have reacted in the sense and said, like Derek Van Orden did, oh, if you're gonna get arrested with Class B misdemeanor, I mean they would have been even more freaked out. But now, for some reason, somehow, some way, that reverence for the First Amendment during the Tea Party is, of course, now a Class B misdemeanor. My, how things have changed.
Certainly, it's just terrible that Van Orden doesn't understand that. And I heard a clip this morning about how horribly the little Tea Party, not Tea Party, the little
the Doge?
Flying monkeys are treating people when they go into those offices, treating them so disrespectfully. If I was sitting in a reception room and one of the little Doge boys came in there talking like that, I'd say something to the little man and say and not be FCC compliant.
Yeah.
And say, you know, and if he gave me a poke in the chest, I'd say, you're just committing an assault, and I'll have your little ass arrested.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. And come on, at that age, I got to be honest, Mike, I wasn't very respectful either. Hell, I'm barely respectful now, or respectable, I guess. Yeah, I mean, they both work. Thank you, Mark. Yes, people, and I think people are, you know, rightfully upset. But it doesn't matter whether or not I think people are rightfully upset or not. Or whether, because you know what? The folks that are going to show up at Derek Van Orden's town hall or Fitzgerald's town hall or Tom Tiffany's town hall or the guy down south, his town hall, they have the right to do that. And they certainly don't have the right to be death threats and throwing things and all that, but they have the right to stand up and speak. And if you don't like that, if you're going to be hosting these public forums, you better put your big boy pants on and expect that you're going to have some people that maybe don't agree with you. And you should be able to specify, articulate your position as to why this thing is or why that thing is. I mean, otherwise, what are you doing? You're in it for the free beer, Derek Van Orden? What are you doing? 855-752-4842. Connie from Stoughton. God, I always say it wrong. Connie, how do I pronounce your fine city properly?
Stoughton.
Connie from Stoughton. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm a little perturbed about these ads that are on the TV for Susan for judgeship.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the same thing to her that they did to Kamala. They've focused on one subject only, and that's women's reproductive rights and rape kits.
Now, are these, Connie? If I could specify here, are these the pro? The pro ads for her, or are these the Schimmel ads that are against her? What?
These are the ones that are against
pro Susan, you know, Crawford.
Schimmel.
Oh, these, okay.
Yeah, and if I was a man, I don't think that would sway me to vote for her. Hmm. And they did the same thing with Kamala when she was out there. It was all women's reproductive and stuff, and she lost. And I think if we don't get something out there to attract the men's attention to this idiot, I think we're going to lose again.
Well, it's certainly an important issue, Connie. I mean, you can't get away from that. And it impacts more than just the women. It impacts all the men in their lives as well. So I'm not against that, you know, bringing that up as a pro Susan Crawford kind of position. Like, she's going to defend a woman's right to choose. That's my understanding. But what else would you like to see? What do you think the other issues are that you would like to see highlighted?
Well, Schimmel's been along for a long time. He's a Walker throwback.
He sure is.
He's got a list a mile long that you could bring up to to get men's attention to vote against him. So I think this is I think we're messing up by just focusing on that one subject.
There are many subjects to focus on, Connie. Appreciate your observation. I hope I get what you're saying. I hope you're wrong, but let's get out there, kind of get folks out. We got an election coming up April 1st. Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
855-752-4842. All right. Tell us something good coming up next, but I just gotta throw this out there.
Okay.
All right. Real quick.
Okay.
Senator Rick Scott.
Yep.
Reveals Republicans are absolutely cutting Medicare from the New Republic. Notorious Medicare thief and Republican senator. Wait, what? During an appearance at the Rescuing the American Dream Summit, he said this. Medicare is going bankrupt. It's all going bankrupt. You know, inflation can't go away. Interest rates can't come down. So my belief, we're going to have to do this. Now, as New Republic reports, Scott knows a thing or two about bankrupting Medicare. He served as CEO of Columbia HSHCA Hospital, which was fined a total of $1.7 billion in 2003 for filing false Medicare claims. At the time, it was the largest healthcare fraud in history. And while the particular honor has since been passed to another, Scott's honor remains unrestored. Rick Scott, man, talk about waste, fraud, and abuse, like legit fraud. He's the richest senator in the Senate right now. And he took the fifth 75 times. Come back with us. Tell us something good.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Here's another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK. Ruby's Pantry distribution coming up this Saturday, March 8th. For just a $25 cash donation, you'll get upwards of 50 to 60 pounds of food. This happens in Amory the second Saturday of each month, and this Saturday, 7:30 to 9 a.m., right at SMC Limited on Griffin Street East in Amory. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up. Oh yeah. Tell us something good. That's how we do it. It's Friday. I can't believe we made it, man. I know I've only been here a few days.
You worked so many days this week. Kind of.
You know, I just hope that, you know, folks, if you're looking for like a career, looking for something to do, please find the joy that Jay Ferguson has when he sings Thunder Island live like in 1977, man.
I've linked it in the notes before. I'm going to do it again today.
It is glorious. Thank you for that, Jess. It always puts a smile on my face. I want to hear something good. Let's talk about something good. It's been a long week. It's been a long couple of months.
So long.
Tell us something good. 855-752-4842. Oh, we got more daylight, right?
Don't
we? Okay, so that's something good.
Daylight savings a little dumb. Yes, we will be getting some more.
I like more light.
Yeah,
let's just do that.
Sure.
I was talking to somebody the other day. Why don't they like we spring forward, right?
Uh-huh.
At like like Sunday morning, like 2 a.m.
2 in the morning, yeah.
Why don't we do it like a Friday at 4 p.m.? Make Friday 4 p.m., Friday 5 p.m.
Yeah!
Boom! We're out!
Dumb for president!
That's what I'm saying, man! Well, I heard it at the bar last night. Wasn't my idea. It might have been Maggie's idea.
Maggie for president.
Maggie for president. Something good. I got to go hang out with Maggie a little bit yesterday. Our buddy Casper was in town. Got to go see Casper. Great to see our friend Lizzie as well. Terry over at the Roman Coin. Man, Russ from Lakefront was down there. They were breaking out like this new yummy beer. It was kind of caramely, something-somethingy. It was tasty. I don't know how much I could drink it, but like too many of them, but it was super yummy. And then Russ's wife, May, gave Terry a wonderful painting of Terry. That she has a painting of Terry's father who owned the bar initially. Yeah. Terry took it over, also on the wall. So it's going to be, the place was packed. We had a lot of fun. It was a great time. It's a lot of fun last night. But let's get to your something good, 855-752-4842. Jess, do you want to jump in or just go right to the...
Let's go to the lines first.
All right. Catherine from Madison, you have been holding the longest. Thank you for joining us. Tell us something good.
Hi, Dom. It's great to see you back, or hear you back.
Thank you.
I wanted to mention one thing before. I do have a brief one for something good, but I was thinking that maybe Donald Trump wants to get a hold of the Declaration of Independence so that he can correct it and adjust it with his little magic marker that he's got. And then hand it back with all the changes, like, we'll not do this and we don't do that, you know. So
that's great.
I'm calling in. Yeah, I know. He's something else. I'm calling because it's something good that we all have and forget about. And that's that we live in an incredibly wealthy nation. We have so much money. We're, if not the richest, we're one of the richest nations in the country, in the world. Sorry, of course, in the country. But what I don't understand is why we have to cut our budget at all. We could be expanding our budget. And that's what we should be looking at. And all this stuff about cutting budget is just the wrong direction. We've got plenty of money. So I think we should just bask in the fact that we've got almost everything we need. We produce almost everything we need. And we've got plenty of money. So let's start spending it in the right spot and demand that our Congress people do the same thing.
Amen, sister. I'm down. I'm totally down with that. Unfortunately, you know, these Republicans, they're not. And this is all for the for tax cuts, to give tax breaks to the billionaires. Mm-hmm. We got a long way to go. You're absolutely right, though. We be thankful for the things that we have and the opportunities that we have. And, you know, one of the big points about this country, it makes this country great, it are those opportunities. That's what draws people. People want to come here so they can pursue those dreams, pursue their happiness without you know, the gangsters and the authoritarian and whatever the case may be, because that's what it's all about. Thank you so much, Catherine. Appreciate your contribution. The original Claire, the OG Claire. Hey, Claire, happy Friday. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. I got another little joke for you so we can all laugh.
Okay. Bring it on.
Okay. What did the snail say as he was riding on the back of the tortoise?
Giddy up.
You're going too slow. What did the snail say while he was riding on the back of the tortoise?
He said, "Wee!"
Oh, Claire, thank you, hon. We appreciate it. The original Claire. Man, Claire's been listening for a long time. I know Claire from back in the Madison days, man. Oh. Thank you for playing along. Cute joke. Appreciate it. 855.
Wee!
855-752-4842. Our pal Gordy, you're up. Hey, Gordy, happy Friday, man. What do you got?
Hey, Dom, Jeff, great show. A good thing, after 40 years of suffering with these floaters in my right eye that would block my vision sporadically, I went in and had the surgery done. I was pretty hesitant about operations on the eye.
Yeah.
But now it's got amazing vision. And if anybody else is suffering from this thing, I recommend doing it. And the best part of the whole thing, it was paid by the social system and Medicare.
Oh, all right. Gordy.
Right on, Gordy.
Right on, man. Appreciate it. Oh, God, great vision. You know, I have glasses. It's the first kind of I've ever had glasses. Never had glasses before. So I need to kind of get them redone. Jess, we got a little bit of time. You got anything you want to throw out there?
I'm going
to
go play D&D, and I'm really excited.
I'm really happy about that.
I'm really excited. I haven't been able to play in like 2 months, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Well,
I'm
going to go get some pizza with my lovely wife, my brother's in-law, my mother-in-law. I'm going to go out and grab some pizza in Milwaukee, so I'm looking looking forward to that. Folks, thank you for joining us, for hanging out. Stay strong. If you're looking for something to do, go see Bernie down in Kenosha. He kicks it off, I believe, at 6:30. Congressman Mark Polkang going to be there as well, pushing back on the oligarchy, folks. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend. Now, stick around. Pete Schwabba, the Nightlights, coming up next. Have a great weekend. We'll see you here on Monday with our pal, Harvey K.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
I'm practicing my quiet voice because Monday is my wife's birthday and she's sleeping in. One of the occupational hazards of trying to do a radio show from home.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and at the White House today, President Trump opened the first-of-its-kind crypto summit, showing support for the creation of a Bitcoin reserve. ABC's Selena Wang on how it would work.
The U.S. already owns these Bitcoin through those criminal and civil forfeitures. So what their argument is that they're taking Bitcoin that the government already has, putting it into a reserve, and allowing that asset to just grow in value and have it there in the same way that the U.S. has reserves of gold.
Economic concerns growing over roller coaster tariffs. President Trump today signaling that he could hike duties on Canada dairy and lumber. Employers added 151,000 jobs last month. That's fewer than expected, and they don't include most federal layoffs. Officials in Santa Fe, New Mexico, releasing the findings and the deaths of actor Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa. The medical exam showing Hackman died from cardiovascular disease with Alzheimer's a contributing factor. His wife died from hantavirus. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.